And then I'll just share a little bit about myself. So my name's Michelle McClatchy, and I've been a member of the Sangha for about 8 years now. And my vocation is I work as a counselor. So I see people one-on-one, in person, and in Zoom. And my passion and my mission is to help people awaken, to raise awareness, to help people learn how to live more in the present moment, to have more peace in their minds and kindness and compassion in their hearts. And really, I'm dedicated to the Bodhisattva path. So it's really an honor to be at this place in life where I've discovered this for myself and for others. And then along with that, I have some specialties that I thought I'd just share with you really quick. So one of those passions and part of why I was so excited, Regine, to see you outside is I just want to encourage everybody to go outside and be in nature. She is one of the best healers around. And particularly to meditate outside. It's so good for us. And there's a wonderful teacher, Mark Coleman, who just is championing that cause as well. And then along with that, I also have a strong interest in plant medicine and the therapies that came along with that. So that's an area of interest and study for me. And I'm offering integration counseling for people who may have traveled or participated in ceremonies where they're trying to figure out how to bring what they've learned from that into their day-to-day lives. And then also I've have a specialty now where I'm helping people who have a desire and a curiosity to expand their spiritual practice and connect to the sacred and the divine and are who are looking for some support in that regard. So, oh, and then I'm offering some retreats. So next month, actually, my good friend and I will be offering a women's retreat, 2-day non-residential, and it's called Rites of Passage. And it's really just an opportunity to take some time to reflect and really be sitting with this last year and all of the things that have happened, and just to take some time to really reflect on that. And hopefully find some peace, you know, with some letting go. So there'll be time with spending time on the land outside and wonderful rituals and other practices that we'll be doing. So yeah, so like I said, I've been a member of this Sangha for 8 years. And as I was preparing this talk, I was remembering back to my first time coming to sit with FIMC. And it all began with a 8-week long mindfulness-based stress reduction class that I took with Nikki Sachs. I don't know if any of you know her, but oh my gosh, she was such a great teacher. And I asked her at the end of class, I said, what can I do to keep this going? And she said, well, go on a retreat. And I was like, what's that? I don't know. I guess I'll go and see. And so I went to a retreat that is held every year in Prescott. The Prescott Sangha hosts a teacher named Howie Cohn. So he comes down from the Bay Area and he's such a delight. So that was my first retreat. And what happened on that retreat is I experienced one of the biggest cathartic emotional releases of a lifetime. And it was really unexpected. So I just remember bawling and bawling and just having no idea why or what was going on with me. But it turns out if you sit in silence for days at a time, things will arise that need to be felt and need to be seen. And I so remember sitting in this beautiful hall that where they meet is at this place called the Garchen Institute, a Buddhist temple. And it's just this gorgeous, gorgeous setting. There's all of the tapestries on the wall and this rich, gorgeous carpet. And I remember I would sit in the back trying to hide, you know, and not have people see my process. And And I remember Howie sitting in the front of the room, and he was sharing about the three jewels. And I'd never, of course, heard anything about those three jewels before: the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. But I was listening through the tears and through my shame about crying. You know, I was listening and I was seeking and open for help. I was like, please help me. And so I thought tonight I would talk some more about those three jewels. And before I do, I just wanted to share a quote from Rumi. And it goes, "If light is in your heart, you will find your way home." And so these three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. The Buddha can be thought of as the historical figure, the man, the actual man who lived a very privileged life where he had everything that he could possibly ever want. And then one day he came to understand and see for himself that life is not perfect. For lack of a better way to say it right now, I don't know why this is coming out of my mouth, but life is not all rainbows and butterflies. It turns out that there's such a thing as old age and sickness and death. And when Buddha had discovered this for himself, when he saw this, he wanted to understand. Like, he had a deep passion for understanding this life of ours that we this existence that we have, and he dedicated himself to that. And that's where all of these beautiful teachings come from, is his passion. So just honoring that process is a way to think of the Buddha. But also, when I think of the Buddha in this dual tech context, I think about it also being a representation that we all have the potential to do that same thing. And inside of each one of us, we have that Buddha nature. So it's like it's representing that we have the option to follow this path and achieve our own awakening. And then we have the Dharma, the teachings, and these are the wisdoms that he discovered and passed down to us, right? So we have the Four Noble Truths and the understanding that life is suffering, that just comes with it, but that we have an option to be able to be free of that. And there's the Eightfold Path and this direction of how we go about that. And as we follow that path, we learn how to develop that compassion and kindness in our own hearts, and to understand the workings of the mind and our past conditioning. And we begin to cultivate these qualities in ourselves so that we can walk a new path in life, so that we can live with more integrity, and in this new way, find a deeper happiness than is possible when we're unconscious and not awake. And then there's the Sangha. All of you, and the Sangha all over the world, our community. I just still remember when I was in that retreat and Howie said, "Sangha, when you leave this retreat, you need to find your Sangha." And I was like, "What's that? You know, I don't even know what that word. That's not English. You know, what do you mean, community?" But I left on a Sunday, and then on the next day, that Monday, is when I found the Flagstaff Insight Meditation Community. And Brian Lesage, our teacher. And I remember showing up there, bawling, trying to find a corner to hide in and really not knowing what the heck was going on, but knowing that I was in the right place and I just needed to keep coming back, keep meditating, and I could feel the sense of wisdom, collective wisdom in the room. And I remember just feeling a settling in my spirit, even though I was also so restless and overwhelmed. There was a sense of safety when I connected with the community. So some of you might already know this, but I had the good fortune to travel recently. And I attended a retreat in Peru. So the retreat was basically meditation, yoga, and plant medicine, specifically ayahuasca. And attending this retreat has been a dream of mine for many years, actually. And what's quite special about it is there was the combination of Buddhism and plant medicine, which is quite unique and unusual. And the teacher, Spring Washam, she's a spirit rock teacher and very wise, and such a joy to spend time with and to learn from. So her dream is to hold these retreats so that people can heal themselves. They can learn, they can grow, and to basically be creating this world of bodhisattvas, this community of bodhisattvas to go out and help heal the world. And part of that's based on a sense of urgency that the world needs help right now. So I just was so enchanted by that mission and to get to be a part of that process. And by the Sangha. So everyone there meditated and had that deep practice. But what was really unique about this retreat is we could actually talk to each other. All of the other retreats I've been on are silent. And you know, there can be all kinds of conversation, but it just happens up here inside of our head. All that mental chatter and stories and assumptions about other people and what they might have going on. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity for actually connecting and getting to know each other, except for maybe at the very beginning. I finally figured out if you go early, that's a great way to actually meet people and to budget a little time at the end so you can make connections. But this retreat was unique in that we could communicate with one another. And what I found just so special about that was the quality of the communication. So, for instance, I remember one day talking to somebody and saying, "Oh my gosh, my mind has such a story going right now about how much a piece of chocolate would make everything better." Because part of this plant medicine practice is a very special diet where there's just no extras, no sugars or spices. And although they served, oh my gosh, the best fresh squeezed juice, and the produce was just off the charts. Oh my gosh. But I remember telling someone, you know, speaking a statement like that. And the other one that stood out to me and came to mind today was I remember saying that my mind is desiring to make a good impression, to have people respect me, to think highly of me, to, you know, not make a mistake or have someone judge me poorly. And that, you know, that process that was running through me was creating a dis-ease. You know, a sensation of things not being okay, of me not being okay. I remember my stomach was in knots and there was a tightness in my chest and like a weight on my shoulders, a heaviness, you know, and just by being able to speak that to somebody else, I could feel it releasing, you know. So not only was I acknowledging it for myself, but sharing it with someone else who really understood what I was saying. We were speaking the same language. And it was just so meaningful, so deep to have somebody get me on that level. And even more so to understand the reason why I was doing that. You know, I was speaking that so I could be free from my suffering, so I could know not to believe the story that was being created. And it was just such a sweet thing to be able to be immersed in a community of people who just consistently were providing that level of support for one another. And it really just inspired me so much about this quality of Sangha. You know, and then the other part too, even though many of those people were Americans on this retreat, I'm also reminded that there's Sangha everywhere, all over the world, you know, and we have this beautiful community here in Flagstaff. But I think as we've learned in COVID and these Zoom sessions, we actually can connect with people in far away and distant places. I've been having so much fun actually going to Howie's sits in Oakland from my house in Flagstaff. And there's been this really wonderful co-mingling happening that just really opens the mind to the understanding that there's so many of us that are engaged in this path. And I feel like it's such wonderful medicine and a great antidote to the feeling of loneliness that can sometimes pervade our lives and our spirits, particularly in this last year. You know, just the knowing that we're all out there doing our best, trying this thing, and hopefully helping one another out, you know. And so oftentimes with the retreats, they start a retreat with a review of these three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and with some chanting, as well as going over the five precepts. It's that remembering that we're promising not to take a life, you know, not to take something that's not freely offered, not to be inappropriate with our sexual energies, to abstain from unmindful communication and from intoxicants that can cloud our minds. So I find that just revisiting these core teachings, it does create a sense of safety. And so much of the time, I think people are really craving that. So many people are feeling unsafe in our world. And so to know that you're in a group of people who, it's okay if you don't lock your door for a week. No one's going to take your stuff. No one's going to hurt you. And it's such a sweet thing to be able to rest in that space. And as I mentioned before, oftentimes in the retreat, we'll do some chanting of these precepts in Pali, in the language of the Buddha. And I went ahead and put that in the text for you guys to read along with me. But I thought I would just go through them really quick, just the three, and then we could do it together. Unfortunately, with Zoom, it's really best if you guys just stay muted, but we can still say them together at the same time. So it goes, Buddham Saranam Gacchami. I go to the Buddha for refuge. Dhamman Saranam Gacchami. I go to the Dharma for refuge. Sangham Saranam Gacchami. I go to the Sangha for refuge. So So one more time, and we could do it all together if you feel called. There's something so healing about using our voice, speaking the sacred messages. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhamman saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. What I really appreciate about these is I go to the Buddha for refuge, for a sense of safety, a sense of sanctuary. I go to the Sangha for refuge, for sanctuary, to the Dharma for sanctuary. So, you know, even though I was thousands of miles from home, I felt at home in my heart, knowing that I have these teachings and that I'm with these people who understand these teachings as well. And I've been reflecting about this last year, and so many teachings from COVID, so many lessons. And one of those for me is there's changes that I am making in my life. I don't want to do my life the same way that I did in the past. And part of that is really learning how to have a sense of home in my own heart. And one of the things that I realized on this retreat with this plant medicine is that even though I've been meditating for a long time and working on myself for a long time, there's still traumas trapped inside of me. And by trauma, I don't necessarily mean like a car accident or, violent acts. You know, when you're a small child, it can be the simplest thing of losing your parents in a grocery store and having and feeling abandoned, you know, and just that fear that strikes. And if we're not taught how to be in those moments of pain, to feel them and to release them, they stay with us. You know, they stay trapped inside of us. And so that's a commitment that I'm making to myself, is to no longer allow them to get stuck, and instead to just be in the present moment and feel whatever arises so that it can be released. And that's a hope that I have for others as well, that we begin to learn to heal ourselves. And one way to do that is to be cultivating the sense of home inside of our own hearts, sense of sanctuary, of comfort, of ease. And I know the word home doesn't always resonate with everybody. Sometimes it brings up a memory of childhood where those qualities that I just mentioned were not available. Or maybe, you know, for some people, home is where they live, but it can be a cold and austere and lonely place. And so I just want to acknowledge that that word doesn't mean the same thing for everybody. But I would like to encourage that we can cultivate that. And one way that we do it is on Monday nights when we're practicing loving kindness together, that meditation. You know, that meditation is about melting the walls that we've built around our heart. Lifetime of trying to protect ourselves from pain, and you know, coming from a place of care, but ultimately harming ourselves and creating separation, creating suffering. And so this loving kindness meditation is a way for us to be able to heal from that, to let those walls break down. And it's possible. I know for some people, it just feels like I don't get this practice. It doesn't work for me. But I encourage you to hang in there, because it does work. And there's a purpose behind that. You know, there's a purpose. And then too, some other ways that we can create that sense of home inside of us is by just tuning in the present moment and paying attention to how we're doing. So right now, let's just do that as a community. Just take a second to see what's here. What's happening with your heart? What's happening with your breath? Where's the tension? And ideally, the body, there's an instinctual response that causes the breath to deepen and our heart rate to slow and the relaxation to come. But if it doesn't, we can be a sangha for ourselves and just be a friend to ourselves and invite those things in. And when we do that, we're stepping out of the mind and into the body. We're coming into the present moment. We're choosing to acknowledge that fight, flight, freeze reaction that's just kind of humming inside of us all the time. And it activating the parasympathetic nervous system, activating our relaxation response. When we're relaxed, we feel safe. And then there's how we talk to ourselves. Man, we are so hard on ourselves. Oh my gosh. That's just amazing. Amazing. And even with the knowing that we need to have more positive self-talk and we're generally like that, it's still like this subtle, insidious, like not good enough kind of thing that, you know, is right there with us in the tone of voice that we use for ourselves can just be so judgmental and cruel. And so I just want to offer a reminder that we can soften that ourselves, that we can practice that being a friend to ourselves. And then as well, we can, as a sangha, you know, really reach into how can I be a home for somebody else? You know, and maybe, you know, over the top, I'm going to help you move. You're not feeling good. I'll go get you some groceries. You know, you need someone to talk to. I'm there for you. Or maybe it's just our presence, right? It's just the presence of I care. And you can feel that with me. You know, I remember back in the day, I would show up for Monday night and I would zip in at the last minute and listen to the talk and meditate and then zip out really fast and just be like, I gotta go, I'm busy, you know? And that's really one of the intentions that I have in my life right now is I don't wanna be so busy that I really don't know these people that I spend so much time with and who are such a rich resource for quality connection. And one of my favorite things about Sangha, and I'll wrap up our talk, one of the coolest things about us is we dig the present moment. This is where it's at, right here, right now, and we know it. Wow. You know, it's like the secret to life right there is the present moment. And we get to share that with each other. What a gift. What a gift. What a gift. So, one more quote from Rumi. There are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the ground, and there are 1,000 ways to go home again. So thank you everyone for your kind attention. So appreciated. And so now is our opportunity to sit together. It's been a little while since I've done this. Am I forgetting a step before we sit? No. Okay. Great. Okay, so we'll meditate for about a half hour or so, and there'll be a loving kindness practice at the end that we do together. And I just want to check in with you all. Is there anyone here who could use some direction or instruction for meditation tonight? Okay, wonderful. Oh, it's such an honor to get to sit with all of you. So, joining in the present moment, joining in the silence, joining as a Sangha. So now we have the opportunity to transition into our loving kindness practice. You're welcome to adjust your posture. Allow yourself to be in a position where you just feel really comfortable, where your body can feel relaxed and at ease. I always like to do this practice with a hand over my heart, just feeling that sense of nurturing and comfort, planting the seeds that in my day-to-day life, I can always rest a hand on my heart and remember how this feels. And so now we have the opportunity to allow our minds to do what they're designed for. To let our imaginations create a vision of what we want to cultivate. To set intention. To be conscious. And you're welcome to just allow your breath to deepen and slow. And have a sense that tonight's practice will be about creating that sense of home, of sanctuary within our own hearts. Will help us to be able to embody that sense for others. And so to begin, you might just bring to mind someone that you care about a great deal, an easy relationship. And allow that sense of fondness to permeate your being. Allow that sense of fondness to turn toward yourself. The antidote to all that self-judgment and criticism. And so I'll say a line and invite you to repeat that line silently to yourself. Envisioning that what we're doing is practicing Sangha, practicing being friends to ourselves, feeling that comforting hand over your heart. We'll begin. May I feel a sense of ease and well-being. May I refrain from harm to myself and others. May I invite peace and happiness into my life. May I practice acceptance and kindness. May I be free. And then remembering that we are Sangha that goes beyond this group together, but beginning right here, allow yourself to have that same sense of fondness for one another. And with each breath, allow that feeling of caring and kindness to expand outward. Beginning with your being, with your heart, and radiating out in all directions like a beautiful light that's expanding across the landscape, enveloping all that it meets with a radiant softness. That flows across borders, across cultural differences, across varying beliefs, allowing it to encompass everyone, even those difficult people. Remembering that when we bring that sense of benevolence towards others, we're really healing our own hearts. And we're practicing the remedy that this world needs, forgiveness, kindness, compassion. You can imagine that this light can encompass the entire globe. Can encompass all beings. All the creatures in nature. The waters, the land, the air. And recognize too that this fondness, this radiating light is combining with all the other people all over the planet right now who are also sending out their loving kindness. And so the light grows brighter and more powerful. And we're united as one. May we all feel safe and protected. Free from harm. Peaceful and happy. May we all be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.